I want you to listen real carefully for just a few minutes this morning, because I believe that every person, get me down just a hair, Brother Roy, every person in here this morning, a large majority of you really desperately need, not quite that much, just a little bit of what I've got to say. Not because I'm saying it, but because of where it comes from. It comes from the Word of God. And there's a verse here that always bothered me ever since I've been saved. It scares me, really. A lot of verses in the Bible scare me. And I'd worry, I would really get worried if I didn't learn how to tremble at the Word of God, and especially parts of it. The Word of God's nothing to take lightly. It's something that ought to put a fear within us. That a holy God spoke holy words and gave them to us on paper that we could actually read His words. And here He's talking to some Christians that done pretty good for a while and then messed up. Now, I want to say this morning that the majority of Christians that I know fall into this category. I'd say a rough estimate of 75% of the people that I know that get saved starts out real good and then messes up and becomes ineffective for God as far as their life's concerned. Now, you're saved and that's great. But you don't want to waste your life. You only got one. And please hear me this morning. Don't waste your life. You'll have a whole eternity to regret it if you waste your life. You may have a saved soul this morning and a wasted life. It's all because of this. Look at Galatians 5, verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder, underline that word, hinder, you that you should not obey the truth? You know what he's saying? He's saying you used to do good. He's saying you used to be on the right track. Listen real carefully. He's saying there was a time when you were headed in the right direction. Who has stopped you? Who has hindered you? Now, if you would hear me carefully this morning for just a few minutes, and we'd like for you to be real still and real quiet, and nobody move around unless it's absolutely necessary. A lot of people used to run for God. He said you did run well. I know a lot of Christians who used to want to teach Sunday school. And did teach Sunday school. There was a time when they were excited about teaching and wanted to prepare a lesson, but somebody or something hindered them. I know some Christians that used to sing in the choir, but something has stopped them. I know some Christians who used to want to work a bus route or preach on the street or be a soul winner. They were zealous in the work for God, who would like to come to church every time they could, but something slowed them down. They used to be faithful, but not anymore. Now, what they don't realize is that living for God is not always a breeze. And if you think that you are going to get right with the Lord and just do right and nothing's going to happen and nothing's going to try to stop you and you're just going to float right through, you are badly mistaken. You're going to catch the devil when you start trying to do right. I'll guarantee it. You're in a fight. Living for God in this generation, if you really live for God, is like running up a football field. And there's about, how many guys are on the football team? 18? 11. The subs, too. All of them coming down the field. 11 men 300 pounds each, shoulder to shoulder, running at you this way, and you running that way. There's no way that you're not going to get hit. There's no way. You young people that you went back to school this year, when you got right with God, you know what you done as soon as you got school? Bam! You run into something, didn't you? Something, somebody tried to hinder you. Now, I don't know about you, but my heart's in the right place. My heart wants to do right, don't yours? I mean, I believe honestly this morning that probably 90% of the people in this room, deep down in your heart, you want to do right. You really do. You want to do the right thing, and if your heart's desire is to please God, I really believe that. But what in the world is wrong with us? Why ain't we doing it? If you're like me, you can literally feel something trying to hold you back. Boy, I get up and I say, now today I'm going to pray and I'm going to get in touch with God and I'm going to pray the hole in the sky and I'm going to read my Bible, and boy, before this day's over, I'll have the power of God on my life, and everything goes backwards from the way I thought it would. I think, now I'm going to get in there and I'm going to witness to that person, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be faithful this week, and I'm going to get this much work done. And it seemed like, blam, this happened. And blam, that happened. And blam, that. And always, when you're trying to do right, something tries to stop you. Who did hinder you? Now, I looked up that word hinder in the dictionary. I thought I knew what it meant, and I found out that hinder is a much stronger word than we normally definition than we associate with it. For example, I usually think that hinder is like I'm walking through a field, and there's a tree here, and it's got limbs sticking out of it, and those limbs are in my way, and I just duck under one, and I just pull back the other one, and I think, well, these limbs are hindering me. And you know what I found out? That hinder is a much stronger word than that. The dictionary says that hinder means to keep back, to hold back, to get in the way of. For example, here's some guys living for God. All right, let's say all you men right here on this front row. I want all you guys right here on this front row to stand up and line up right here. All of these men right here are living for God. They're in their daily life. Now, here they are. Now, y'all point that direction over there. That's your life of sin. And here they go. They've got right with the Lord. They've given their heart to God. They've been the new manna. They went to the altar. Somebody came to the altar and prayed with them and said, do you believe this? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? All right, you got the victory. Amen. Now, brother, you go get them. You go live for God. Now, here they go. They go back to school. They go back to work. Filled, walking the pilgrim pathway, filled with the Holy Ghost, bound for that city on high, living on higher ground, King James Bible under their arm, new song in their heart. Woo! We're ready to go. Remember that good feeling? Boy, let me at them, let me at them. Can't wait to go back and tell everybody how happy I am, and I'm on my way to glory, and I'm happy living for Jesus. But the devil looks down. And don't you think he don't look at us once in a while? And the devil, come here, Brother Ken. The devil. Come with me. Here he sits, up here on his throne. And the devil looks down and he says, hey, look at them boys. I don't like that a bit. So you know what he does? The devil can't be everywhere at once. These people getting saved all over the world right now. I mean, brother, in other parts of the world, they're giving invitations and people are streaming to the altar and they're crying, somebody getting born again right now while I'm preaching. The devil can't be on all of them at once. He's the prince of the power of the hour. He's swift. He goes, here's the world. He goes, Tokyo, Japan, you know, Los Angeles, Atlanta, over here, New Manna. And he just zips over top of us about 100,000 miles up us and down and just looks in on us. And he's smart. And you know what he's got? He's got demons.
So he says this, if you read the book of Daniel, you'll find out that demons have certain provinces that they're over. There is a special head big dude demon over McDowell County. And there's a lot of demons in McDowell County doing the devil's work. And their job is to hinder these boys from living for God. All right, demons. Here's three demons right here. Three demons. You sit down, Jonathan. We know what you are. All right. These three demons right here, their job is to hinder those boys. Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible said, who did hinder you? All right, their job, demons' job, is to hinder them boys from living to God. Their goal is, that wall over there, to live for God and live right with God. Now, the demons' job is to trip them. The demons' job is to get... All right, here, let me show you how to be a demon. Here's what you do. All right, now here these boys, they're living for God. Now you guys kind of spread out here. This is a Christian. Just don't get in the line. Just spread around. There you go. Now their job is to walk this way, tread the pilgrim pathway, filled with the Holy Ghost, living for God, reading the Bible, praying, and the demon's job is to what? Hinder them. Stop them, right? That's what happened to you when you went back to school. That's what happened to you when you went back to work. All right, the demon says, how am I going to get... Hey. Playboy, we're here, Wally. All right, man, let's go. Start living for God. Look, see this? Now, he quotes Scripture, look not to the right hand nor to the left hand. Let thine eyes look straight before thee. You know, keep your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But their job is to say, look here. Don't you want to see this? Now, you guys hinder them. Don't you let them live for God. Devil, give them the orders. Their job is... Now, wait a minute. Their orders from the devil is to keep these guys from living for God. They have orders. And the devil says, come in, you sorry things. Get down here before me. You just have to bow down before the devil. Bow down here before the devil. He says, if you don't, he said, if you let them guys get through, I'll turn the tip of tail up on you. I'll torment you. And their job is to stop them. All right? Now, y'all begin to walk for God and see what happens. Get them, demons, go! Don't let them... Here goes one getting through. All right. Whoa. Everybody hold right. What you got right there? Now, these guys are laughing, but in real life, they don't laugh. Hey, let me tell you what happened to some of you. All right, we're right back here. Give me one of the demons right here. Mark. All right, here's a demon. Here's what happened to some of you. You got right with God. Hallelujah. Woo! Treading the pilgrim pathway. Filled with the Holy Ghost. King James Bible and John. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Boy, I'm ready to live for God. Well, I didn't know it was going to be like that. And you run right back and went to your old life. You know what we used to call that? We used to call that sissies. We used to call that no guts. Now, if we're playing football, you know how I'm going to get through there? Well, I've got to lower my head, square up my shoulders, put my Bible under my arm, and boy, I got to do that, Jesus. Oh, God, I'm in some way in a fight. And the truth is, and y'all don't want to admit this, but about 80% of the people in this church have already just said, I'm tired of fighting. I tell you what, demon, let's make a pact. You leave me alone, and I'll leave you alone. I'll just stop right here if it's all right with you. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and the devil has hindered you from living for God. That's right. That's what's wrong with it. Now, some of you might make it through. Blessed is that one that fights through. How are they going to fight through? What's your armor? What's your weapon? The Word of God. If you don't know the Scripture, they're going to get you. If you don't spend time praying and in the Word of God, they're going to stop you. All right, let's have a little more battle here. Go for God, boys. Go for God. Demons. Don't you let them get over there. Oh, one slipped through and got sanctified. There goes another. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at them go. Glory goes, Steve. Go. Hallelujah. Go. dog.
Now pray for them. Pray for them. They're having a battle. Pray for them. There you go. Help out your brother. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Boy, all right. All right, all right, all right, all right. All right, all right. This old demon here done a good job, son. All right, y'all can go sit down. Don't you just die, go out here and tell people what goes on in this church. That'll be all over town before the week's over. Now, the truth is, that is exactly what's happening. That's what's happening. The only difference is this. Up here, you can see the enemy. And in our life, we can see them. Have you ever tried to fight somebody you couldn't see? How you going to hit them? You see what kind of mess we're in? We'll ask you some questions. I'm going to ask you 5 questions right quick, and then we're going to do business with the Lord. Question number 1. Were you hindered? I ask you what has stopped you. I'm going to try to find out why some of you won't sing in the choir, why you won't visit, why you won't pray. What has hindered you? I'm going to find out. Let me ask you some questions. If you went to the doctor, he said, "Doctor, I just don't know what's mad at me. I don't feel like doing nothing no more. I can't breathe. He starts asking you questions. Well, when did this start? How long have you felt this way? You know what he's doing? He's getting to the root of your problem. Now, what we need to do this morning is quit playing games and get to the root of your problem. You want to do that? I believe there's some people here this morning that says, "I'm sick and tired of being hindered. I'm sick of being held back. I want to be over yonder on higher ground. I want to live on the mountaintop. I want to have victory. If I'm going to be a Christian, I want to enjoy it. If I'm saved anyway, and ain't nothing I can do about that, I might as well be victorious and enjoy." And I believe you got the right idea, because if you were going to enjoy sin, you should have thought that before you got saved. Once you're saved, you ain't going to enjoy that world sin no more. You might do it, but you ain't going to have fun. You might have a good time and a little kicks, but you ain't going to be happy. You should have thought of that before you got saved. When the Lord saved you, He bought and paid for you. Body, soul, spirit, you don't belong to yourself no more. You'll never be happy until you're living over there on the mountainside with Jesus. What hindered you? Number 1, were you hindered by the inconsistency of professing Christians? I believe there's a lot of people that when they first came to church and got saved, thought that everybody in church was perfect. And they thought, "Boy, I'm in a good church now. Glory to God, there's some wonderful people in that church." And brother, somehow or another, they elevated the people in the church to a higher level than what God ever intended for them to put them. And when they found out that they messed up, or they found out one of them was a hypocrite, or they found out one of them wasn't what they're supposed to be, or they found out one of them was running around on their husband, or they found out one of them didn't pay their bills, it hindered them. I know a family right now. Used to be faithful to church every Sunday. Y'all might not think it's important for you to be faithful to church every Sunday, but one of these days when your kids gets big, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I know a family right now that used to be faithful. Listen to me carefully. No talking, please. And they never missed a service. They sang in the choir. But an incident came up between them and another family. And they had some problems, and some friends got mad at each other. And statements were made like, "If that's the way Christians are going to be, we'll just stay at the house." Now, can you see what happened there? They were going this way, and one of them demons got them. You're not helping anything. You're not proving a point by quitting church. You're not hurting anybody but yourself.
Amen.
I know a lot of people say, well, I'll just show them. I'll just quit and stay at home. If that's the way they're going to act, you ain't hurting nobody but yourself. You sure ain't hurting them. They're still there. You suffer. You pay. You'll be the one that suffers the consequences. What if one of these guys would have said, well, go. What if one of them would have run into the other one? And one of these boys would have hit the other one and said, well, hey, if you're going to act like that, I'll just quit. You know what? The demon goes, ha, ha, I got him, Mr. Devil. I got him. See, he don't care how he gets you, just as long as he gets you. He couldn't care less why you quit, just as long as you quit. It don't have to be dope or liquor. Just quit, man. Just quit. That's all the devil's interested in. I know a lady right now. I can tell you her name. She used to read that Bible literally, faithfully. I mean, every day, so many chapters, read that book, stay. I mean, she had a testimony. She was faithful. She prayed. And her preacher was inconsistent, at least in her eyes. She found fault. She's out of church this morning, living for the devil. I know a lady that was sincere, just as sincere as she could be, on fire for God. She found out some of the leaders in the church, this is at another church, and it's been years ago, were hypocrites. And overthrew her faith. You say, what should I do, preacher? I've seen so many Christians mess up. Seem like everybody ever had any confidence in. I found out something wrong with the life. It's just about destroyed my faith. Get your sword and tell what that book said. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and keep on going for God. You know what? If you found out I went out and got drunk this evening, you know what you ought to do? You ought to live for God tonight.
Amen.
Don't get your eyes on men. I don't care who they are.
Amen.
Keep them on the Lord.
Amen.
Who's hindered you? What stopped some of y'all from being what you used to be? Second question. Were you hindered by persecution, misunderstanding, or opposition? You come home. Guess what, Mama? I got saved, and there's people at New Manor that love me, and I want to do right. And Daddy steps up and says, I've heard bad things about that church. You're not going back. You know, that's happened. And a lot of young people who thought that their friends and family would be thrilled to know that they got saved. When they were opposed strongly by family and friends, oh, you just couldn't wait to tell them, could you? And boy, when they laughed in your face, that old demon went, pow, and hindered you. Who's hindered you? Question number three. Were you hindered by some severe trial or time of sorrow? I've known a lot of people who live faithfully for God. You listen real careful, folks. It's very important that you hear every word. I know a lot of people that used to live for Jesus. They had a testimony. I mean, you could see God on them. You could feel the Lord around them. You know God was with them. You know they had a touch. You know the Lord. And then they had family problems. Wound up in a broken home. I believe one of the most, if not the most severe trial a person can face is a family busting up. There's hardly nothing can be more traumatic or destructive on an individual than their home being. I'm talking about man, wife, and kids. It literally almost destroys them, and very seldom do you see one make it through
and still shine and beam for Jesus. You know what happens usually? They're hindered. They sit down. They leave the devil alone. The devil leaves them alone. And they're stuck and don't grow and don't shine and don't win souls and don't have an influence on nobody because they had a severe trial. You can lose your job. And it, especially if you're a man, you can lose your job and it can literally hinder you from living for God. Great sickness. I have known people who found out somebody in the family has cancer. Now listen carefully. Or maybe something else bad happened to them. Leukemia. Maybe a bad operation. They have to go to the hospital. They stay with that family member through that time of sorrow, through that time of trouble, through that time of severe testing. They're out of church for several weeks. Next thing you know, they come back, miss a couple of weeks. Come back, miss a couple of weeks. And never, ever do get back where they once was. Folks, I love y'all more than any church in the world. I love you folks. And I ought to, and it's supposed to be that way, and there's nothing in this world I'd want any more for you than to see every one of you shake loose out of that old briar patch. You ever tried to run through a briar patch? You're trying to go somewhere and it just pull you, catching here, and they're holding you back. And you have to reach down and pull them, and you get stuck. Ow! Your hand bleeding. It's a whole lot easier just sit down, isn't it? It's a whole lot easier just to sit back and say, I don't want to fool with it. I'm tired of getting stuck. That's exactly where some of you are this morning. You run a little while. You went and knocked on a few doors. Somebody slammed the door in your face. You got a little persecution. The devil trying to hinder you. And you said, I'm tired of getting stuck. I'm just going to sit down. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone, devil. And you're just sitting there saved this morning, and that's it. And I don't want that for you. God don't want that for you. To be downright honest with you this morning, it breaks my heart and makes me mad as fire. When I look at some of you folks sitting here this morning that's got so much potential, there's no telling. Some of you got talent. You can sing. You can witness. You know some scripture. But you let the devil stop you from doing anything for God. It's a crying shame. It's a disgrace. Why not hit him again? Stick your plug back in the wall. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've been hit so much, I just gave up. Oh, grit your teeth and hold off and go at it one more time. You never know, you might break through this time. And I'll be honest with you this morning, folks, I've been there. There's been times when I've had a trial, and before I get through with one trial, another one starts. Y'all know where I'm coming from? And lo and behold, before you get that and took care of, something else goes haywire. And there's an old saying me and Carrie says once in a while, and it's this. It ain't scripture, but it's scriptural. If you're a Christian, you might as well get this through your noggin this morning. And here it is. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Brother, no truer words have ever been spoken. I mean, you better learn that, and you better get it through your thick skull this morning, brother. If it ain't one thing, it's going to be something else. Get your family problems straightened out, something will break out somewhere else. You get that straightened out, you'll have physical problems. You get your physical problems took care of, you'll have financial problems. You get financial problems took care of, family problems again. You get that took care of, church problems. You get church problems took care of, school problems, friend problems, boy problems, girl problems. You're going to have it.
You're going to have it.
If you think that the devil is just going to sit up here and say, well, I'm too busy to bother with those Christians down there at New Manor. They're on fire. I'm just going to leave them alone. Let them go and shout the victory. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're going to have to fight.
Go through those hindrances. Question number four. Listen carefully. Were you hindered by the pull of the world?
Paul said there in 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. James said, hear me, young people. James said, a man cannot love God and love the world at the same time.
You just can't do it. I ain't got no rope. But if I did. Okay, Willie, come up here again. He's going to live for God again. Here he goes. Come to the altar at New Manor, got right with the Lord, treading the pilgrim pathway, filled with the Holy Ghost, bound for that city on high, King James Bible in his arm, filled with joy in the Holy Ghost, the windows of heaven are open, all that jazz. Here he goes. All right, start living for God. Now I'm the world back here. You just keep it going. Now you know what the world goes? I'm trying to lasso him. And I'm his old friends and the world back here. All right, I get the rope around his neck. Ooh, ooh, I'm pulling. Now, did you know that the world has a pull on every one of us? Now, don't sit there and act like it don't pull you. If it ain't pulling you, you know what that means? It's got you, brother. It's got you. I feel it, boy. I can feel it. I can feel that stupid TV. Man, I can feel that thing. It's just like somebody, pulling on me. Say, see something bad. See something bad. I can see things of the world. I don't even like beer. Never have liked beer. It's never even been a temptation to me. But you know what I want to do down the road? And there's a big old pretty sign said, this bud's for you, you know. And so them sparkling, dropping down the side of the ground. I thought, boy, that does look good. And really, it's like puke. But it looks good. Amen. Now, I know some people really do like the taste of it. I never.